became a two-time heavyweight champion of the world. Anthony, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, speaking to me through the week, speaking some good boxing. And it's good to catch up after as well, talk about how I feel and everything we spoke about before. That's led us to now, so it's good to be back on the couch with you guys. Yeah.
Olympic gold, winning the world title in your 16th fight. Memorable night at Wembley against Vladimir Klitschko. How does this compare?
Vladimir Klitschko's fight will always be number one. But when I first won the title with Charles Martin, I didn't feel like I took it in. Everything happened so fast, and I'm still learning, I'm still experiencing so much that I didn't really grasp what actually being a heavyweight champion of the world was about. Only until I lost it and I saw from the other side of the corner, Ari Mexico, what it was like to be a heavyweight champion of the world. And I thought, hang on, I want a bit of that. So I knuckled down and this time winning it, even though I know it shows you've got to work hard and you can't slack because there's people out there that's going to take it from you. I just know that, like, being heavyweight champion of the world means a lot to myself and means a lot to a lot of people. Do you know what I mean? So this for me would probably rank close to that Vladimir Klitschko fight, if not just one above.
What lessons have you learned across the two fights about yourself as a fighter and a man?
As a fighter and as a man. As a fighter, maybe not to take fights at short notice, especially at championship level. Don't put that pressure on yourself. I think you have to really be, if you want to stay champion for a long time, because this should have been another defense to my title, not becoming second, not becoming a two-time champion. So I think you can never take an opponent lightly. You have to be 110% focused on your opponent. And as a man, I believe that I have to trust my own instincts as well. There's certain things that I want to work on. You know, there's certain things I know that I may be weak in this area, and I just have to be able to speak with my coaches and express them, really. And we have to find those weaknesses and identify them. So they're the two things, is trust your own instincts and make sure you push your creativity through when you're working with people. And just understand what you're doing when you're doing it, because once it's gone, luckily I got it back, but it could have been really difficult to get it back. So I'm just in a lucky position to be sitting here as heavyweight champion of the world.
It seemed to me from the outside looking in and again reflecting on that first fight that it was a case last night of you fighting your fight, not our fight, the media's fight or the fans' fight. You fought the fight that you should have fought first time round.
I felt like it's a catch-22 because, as you said, the fan fight, the media fight is the one. It was a fight. He went down, he got up, he went down and he got up and this and that. But then I thought that the fan fight would be the fight for me to fight for victory. Because there's nothing better than the next day when everyone says, oh, what happened?
Well done, champ.
You won. Yeah, or well done, champ. Do you know what I mean? So I thought that's more important than me going in there and slugging it out and leaving it up to the judges or a 50-50 shot, who lands first. I thought the main thing for me is just to walk out of here and be victorious. And then, like today, we're sitting here talking as heavyweight champion of the world. I thought that's more important, and that's something more important for my fans to talk about than, yeah, he was doing great for 12 rounds and he just got caught in the last 10 seconds, but he done well. That's not good enough. They want to know that I won. And that was a main priority last night.
Andy, I'm going to try and take you back a little bit. I wish I could do a little bit of that hypnosis stuff, you know, that they used to do. It was big in the 90s. So you'd look at me and I'd say, OK, Anthony, now, just relax. I'm going to take you back to June the 1st.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Now, I'm going to take you back to Sheffield a couple of weeks ago when you told us, let's put you on the spot a little bit. Let's not make it all glory. OK, you bashed the guy up last night. You won the title for the second time. You've got plenty of money and plenty of glory and everyone loves you. But we're going to ask you a question. You promised us you'd do some revealing. You promised us one or two. Don't look over there. The team's not going to help you. Don't look away.
Like making excuses and stuff like that.
No, not excuses. No, there was. We did talk about something.
I had some issue with my health, which I was going through for a long time. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Just felt like so tired and drained, and I just thought, oh, it must be down to training. And then I got myself sorted out, and I feel honestly $1 million. So it was weird, even like in the changing room before that fight, I was like, oh, I asked one of the guys, can you just get me a bucket of water and put ice in it? I just shoved in my head in this bucket of water, like, why do I feel so tired? And you could see these type of things when I was in the ring. Yeah, and the responsibilities of being like a champion is difficult, especially at such an early stage. It's like, I didn't have 20 odd fights to learn when you're fighting every other month. It was just, boom, 16 fights. And like, giving Andy the belts wasn't that I was giving them away. I really want to be heavyweight champion of the world, but it was just to offload that pressure off me for 5 minutes. So all that type of stuff, feeling so tired, dealing with a lot of obligations and stuff like that.
So in addition to getting rid of whatever that was, medically finding out what it was and getting rid of it, you're a totally different man now then.
Yeah, I mean,
not only have we said all week you look a different man, but you're a different man because you're not the man now in 6 months or 37 months is going to go into a fight and say, you know what, just add the belts. It's been too much pressure. That ain't going to happen again, is it?
No way. Because I feel I've got energy. I deal with whatever. I haven't missed a sparring session. I haven't missed a training session. You know, it's like sometimes when you're in camp, you plan for a great 3 months or a great 8 weeks, 2 months. There's always stuff that get in the way. You get tired and whatever can happen. But this time I went straight away through. I feel good. I'm hungry.
So what was the problem last time, right? What induced that weakness?
No, not going into it. But I just felt tired. I felt lethargic and now I feel good. And that's important for a fighter to feel good. A happy fighter is a good fighter.
If you'd felt like that this week, would you have pulled out?
Nah. Because I wouldn't have known what it was. Yeah. I just thought I was just tired because of training. Do you know what I mean? So I was just cracking on, like, getting inspiring, thinking if this guy hits me with a good enough shot, I think I'm going to collapse. But I just, the fighter in me shows that I've got a spirit in me to fight through anything. So, you know, even with the last fight, Andy just kept on hitting me on the back of my head and I was just dropping, getting back up. And I was thinking, I asked Rob, I said, why am I feeling like this? Do you remember in that round?
Yeah,
I was like,
of course we do.
I just didn't know what was wrong with me. But it shows then after my checkups and stuff that, oh, this is what the problem was and this is what you've got to get sorted. Even in this camp, I had an operation done. I had an operation. But because I've been training since like June the 20th, I had no issues with kind of getting myself sorted and having a few weeks to recover and getting back to training. That's what I mean. So it's so important to stay active even when you're not training for a fight because it eases off the pressure of anything that you may have to take care of during a training camp.
What was the operation?
Not telling you.
let me tell you the way it works, Andy. I'm the sort of nice guy here. I'm the nice guy. And I soften you up. I make out I'm going to ask you the hard questions. And then slippery Costello over here.
I know.
He goes in purely for the jugular. You might as well have seen.
You're just using the jab, Andy.
He's going for you. I'm being like really polite and kind and trying to make light of it. And he just says, OK, so when was the operation? How many stitches? Where was it? What's the surgeon's name? Might give him a break. He's just won the world title for the second time. Yeah, 12 rounds. It was exhausting watching him. Give him a bit of a break. The big lad. For God's sake.
I feel like I'm being interrogated.
Okay. Not by me, not by me. AJ, not by me, son, not by me.
Oh, God.
Okay, we step back out of this.
But the main thing is, I feel good, I'm back, focused, and I'm already thinking about what's next and how soon it can be because I don't want to leave it too far ahead and then anything happens in that period of time. I just want to stay focused.
So where are we going next? I mean,
I'm not too far.
Unique. It's been really different. It's felt different. But are you thinking about going somewhere else in the world?
Back to London. London. So I'll be back in Finchley, back in Sheffield at GB Boxing. Just keeping my head down and probably fight back in London.
What about in terms of fighting? Location? Elsewhere around
probably
the world.
London. Probably Wembley. And I've heard Eddie mention Tottenham or O2. Anywhere like that's good with me.
And it's that in theory, could it possibly be the winner of, say, Alexander Usyk against Derek Chisora in February or whatever? That's something along those lines.
Exactly.
Is that what we're thinking?
When is that? In February?
February or March, whenever it's done.
But then that stops me from fighting. So if I...
Yeah, so you've got to wait till June or something.
I'd have to wait. How many months is that? Well, about 7 months.
If you fight. Could.
Yeah,
if,
do you think it's going to be difficult to hold on to all three belts politically?
If there's four belts, I'll fight one of the mandatories, providing I win, one step at a time. So let's speak in the future. Providing I win, let's say Usyk and whoever fight, I would love to fight the winner of that fight. Okay. So they can have theirs in February. I'd love to have a fight around March, early March, late March.
Okay.
Just after them. And then the winner of them two will probably fight the winner out of me and who I'm defending my titles against. Okay.
And then one other fight next year.
And then another fight.
Would you like three fights? Would you like three fights?
Yeah. I don't know how quick Eddie can turn around in these shows. But I would definitely continue to fight. It's like the old school, isn't it? It's the best school.
Which you like.
Given what
you were saying earlier on about how it was a release to not be world champion for a while.
Yeah.
Given how we work with pay-per-view and the amount of hype concern and the media work you've got to do, can you do three fights a year?
Do you know what? It was actually nice to say no. Sometimes, not being the champion, it was actually nice to say to Andy and the team, like, oh, these guys want to do an interview. I'm like, oh, you should ask the champion. I'm not the champion. It was nice to actually have a bit of time just to focus on the fight. And I just got to keep that same attitude. Even if I am fighting 3-4 times a year, I've just got to keep that same attitude. Is like, hold on, guys, that the boxing is the most important thing, not my mouth talking.
And stay true to that. Please, if you let me win this time, I promise you I'll do fill in the gap afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. Fill in the gap.
And then you win and then you don't fill in the gap.
Yeah, but you've got to do it. You're filling in the gap. Last night on Five Live, you probably can't remember because it was the end of the fight and the adrenaline was running. You put out a challenge to anybody out there that needs help, reach out to me.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I think I did.
Your team are rolling their eyes. Going,
I say that a lot. I say that a lot and a lot of requests do come through.
But. So they should, man. Hey, listen, you're either a role model or you're someone that appears as a role model.
I'm a role model.
Bang. So people are meant to reach out to you.
Finchley, come find me at Finchley. That's where we're at.
People think that's a joke, you know, and they've asked me about that. I said, no, I'm telling you, go to that gym in Finchley, walk down to the gym, knock on the door, and he might be in there on a Wednesday afternoon. It's probably not rubbish. Yeah. He's in the gym on a Wednesday afternoon or a Thursday
night. Are there. And it's like a vibe because we train, and I stay there for about 2-3 hours after anyway. And now I'm not training, like, for a fight. Sometimes I go there and do the pads for the classes and stuff like that with the kids in that. It's class, you know. Boxing's a great sport.
Do you think they were affected by you not being champion?
They root for me. It's hope. You only want to achieve what you see. Like, Chisora was in my gym before, and they spoke about him being ABA champion, and the ambition was to be ABA champion and then turn professional. But because we had Chisora setting the bar, luckily we went one above. So if I can give some inspiration to the next kid in that gym, imagine what they're going to go on to achieve. So we went to the Olympics, world championship. So imagine this kid might be 2-time Olympian, world champion, and conquer the division that whatever they desire. So as long as they can see it, they can believe and achieve it. So when it was taken away, imagine I would have gone back and say, look, I tried. So it just loses a bit of that motivation for these kids. But if I go back and give them a firm talking to, leave those belts in the gym for them to see, that will spark something in one of those kids to go on and do something special.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it will.
Well, they're all waving at us again, so
it's been a delight. Yeah,
even at GB Boxing.
Of course, man.
We're all around.
You lift all of them.
Motivation, man. They motivate me. I was watching all Pat McCormack's fight and stuff like that. Luke McCormack, all of the boys' fights before I boxed Ruiz, because their style is phenomenal. Hit and don't get hit. That's what that whole performance was about.
The oldest instinct in boxing,
man. We were saying on the podcast last
night
how important your win was to them. As well.
Yeah, leading into the Olympics.
You're looking at them, but they look up to you.
Exactly.
As well.
So go down there with the belts and say, listen, you slap them up and say, you better get yourself in gear. You're not making weight, sort yourself out before it's too late. Don't make the mistake and go to the Olympics and say, no, I've got to wait another 4 years. Get it right now.
And don't weigh in ever wearing a sombrero. Because it's seven pounds of Mexican BS. That might be the end of the podcast. Sorry.
Thank you very much for having
me. Thanks for all your time.
Thank you very much.
It's been great.
I appreciate your time as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah?
Thanks, AJ.
Thank you. So as Anthony moves on to his next media commitment here in the restaurant, high up in the Faisalia Tower, above him, term where the weigh-in took place on Friday, as I said earlier. Steve, your thoughts on what Anthony had to say?
I thought he was straight to the point. I thought he was relaxed. I thought he was absolutely exhausted, if you want my honest opinion, Mike. He looked like we could have thrown a blanket over him, dimmed the lights, had that little private chat that we always have with him at the end, and I thought he could have gone to sleep. I'm glad we didn't talk to him too much about the fight, because we saw that last night, we lived it, and I'm pleased we pushed him a little bit on the June 1st situation. Obviously we're going to read about that, as you heard, if you listened, you heard people shouting from the sides, it's in the book. There was a moment there when there was a little bit of fear on his face, maybe the first bit of fear, genuine bit of fear, when he thought that you were going to really grill him. So what that sounds to me, Mike, like some sort of viral infection. Would that be about right? That
sounds
athletes,
like it, yeah.
Yeah, that they get waylaid and they don't know why they've got no strength and they can no longer run, you know, the 100 metres in 10 seconds while they're doing 11 seconds or why they can't jump anymore. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, the relentless nature of training and training and training. And it's mental stress as well, all the time thinking about the next big race, the next big event coming up in his... sense the next big fight coming up. But Richie Woodall, he gave you a huge hug as you walked in. First time he's seen you during fight week. What have you made of him generally? As Steve said, we've gone past discussing the fight now, but just his general demeanour now that he's champion again.
Well, I think we all sort of recognised from the first contest that he wasn't right and he wasn't 100% fit. And there, I think he's more or less saying that he wasn't 100% fit. There was something wrong. And, you know, it's been put right now and he is 100% and he's performed the way he has. So that just shows that he wasn't right in that last contest. Yes, I agree with Steve. I think, obviously, we got to bed, didn't we, in the early hours last night when we got back to the hotel. And when I got into my bed, I literally, although it was really, really early in the morning, I couldn't sleep for about half an hour, 45 minutes, because the bout kept going through my head. So, Anthony, what must it have been like for Anthony Josh? He probably hasn't gone to bed last night.
Well, it turns out.
But now it's catching up on him, and that's what he looks like. He has been in a 12-rounder.
It turns out he was out in the desert with one of the princes, one of the many princes. They went out for some kind of sort of celebration out under the stars, out in some sort of Bedouin-style sort of celebration, with music and four-wheel drives and tents and stars. And I'd like to embellish it more, but you never know, it might be a complete invention. But, okay, I'm going to go. There were falcons. Go on, Mike, I've done it. There were falcons and camels and dates and lamb. What a feast they had celebrating. Beautiful. We're allowed to embellish a little bit, aren't we? Why not?
But just looking at some of the, I wouldn't call it backlash, but some of the reviews of Anthony Joshua's performance and dismissing it as boring and tedious. And I was talking to Richie in the hotel earlier today, Steve, and it struck me that had Andy Ruiz Jr., after winning the first fight, not been tied in the contract to a rematch clause, and just say, for example, he decided he didn't want to give Joshua an immediate rematch, and he fights instead for massive money Tyson Fury, and Tyson Fury does what Anthony Joshua did last night. Tyson Fury is hailed as a master craftsman. Now, that's not a dig at Fury. That's what Fury does.
That's a fact.
But he would have been hailed for producing that very same performance. Whereas for Joshua, I think it showed another side of him.
And it's also a side that he can only develop further. As Richie pointed out in a little conversation that he had with AJ before AJ sat down, that was like the old days, that was like the Olympics, that was like how we first knew you. Well, perhaps he has turned away from that, turned his back on that, he's had to do different things. Perhaps we will see an AJ in the future that's a nice mix of what we saw last night and the slightly gung-ho AJ, because he has got a gung-ho side, Mike. Let's get that right. Let's get that firmly established. He talks about, you know, I'm a warrior at heart. That's not cheap chat. He means that, Rich. He has got a gung-ho side. And I don't want you to say, because you shouldn't give it away, but I wouldn't be at all surprised in sparring that if he gets clipped, he has a right go back instead of, you know, taking a second to think about it. That's my gut feeling.
One of the problems, I think, that Rob McCracken's got with AJ is... you can only coach a boxer to a certain degree, Mike, but every boxer has got a natural instinct to box and to fight, and his instinct literally takes over, and that can be a problem because he admits himself that he's a natural fighter and a natural, what he calls, a warrior, and he is, but that can be a problem because then that dictates how you're going to box. You tense up, you move into mid and short range where you shouldn't be, which he did last time, and that's when you can come unstuck. So for 12 rounds, to keep his distance and to keep disciplined and listen to his corner and carry out the game plan, I think, honestly, it's as good a mental contest than it is a physical contest. I was just as impressed for his mental strength than his physical strength last night.
Now, Mike, here's one. I'll throw it at you. I was going to ask you last night, but it was quite late by the time we'd finished. Is the Joshua we saw last night the Joshua that could be and cause Wilder real problems? That fluid, mobile, concentrated boxer.
He causes Deontay Wilder problems and he causes Tyson Fury problems. And it's interesting looking at the bookmaker's reaction to Anthony Joshua's win last night. He is still second favourite against Tyson Fury and against Deontay Wilder. Wilder and Fury would start favourite against him, but it is almost even money in all of those contests. So Deontay Wilder against Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder against Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury against Anthony Joshua, all of those contests are almost even money, the pair of them, with most of the main bookmakers. So that tells you where we are now. He's back on that top table, back on that top table. And we are on the cusp, possibly. How long have we been saying this? But you know, when you see that those fights are, whether we see them as 50-50 or not, the bookmakers actually have them as even money shots virtually. It's very, very close to even money in all cases in those permutations and combinations. So we could possibly, over the next 2 years, have this era that we've been so long talking about. And he's talking about next coming back to London. He said either at Tottenham or maybe even the O2. So it looks like we are going to see Anthony Joshua's next fight in the UK and more than likely in London.
Well, and I don't think, Mike, it's going to be too far away because he wants to... He's got this feel-good factor now. He knows... He just hinted there about boxing on a regular basis.
Three times a year, he said.
And I think he can do it. He's hungry for it now. He's got that hunger back and he wants to keep boxing because he knows if he's boxing regular, he's boxing at his best. Deep down, he knows that.
And one sentence from each of you. Steve first. Who does AJ fight next?
I think it will be a guy like Kubrat Pulev.
Richie?
I wouldn't rule out Dillian White.
Yeah, I'm thinking Dillian White might be next.
Yeah, Dillian White, Wembley next year, makes all the sense in the world. UCAD have cleared him, why not? They've got an old beef, that's perfect.
And talking about exotic, Steve, as we wind down now from here in Saudi Arabia, get set to move off to the airport, your thoughts, final thoughts on a week, mad week in Saudi Arabia?
Eye-opening. It's been eye-opening. It's been really long and hard. And I don't know why it's been so long and hard. Maybe it's the traffic. Maybe it's the just that we've stuck with everything and we've done everything. I've liked it. I've taken a lot of criticism, social media, for being a cheerleader for the Saudi Arabian regime. You know, we discussed it very well 2.5 months ago. I'd like to put it to bed now, all of that Saudi stuff. I've absolutely adored our time here, and I've got to tell you, the time we had at the edge of the world, oh man, that was a great experience. And the fight itself was great, Mike. It was great.
Great event. Richie, you came in late. Your impressions?
My impressions, I never knew Buncey could herd camels the way he has. So that was an eye-opener for
me. That's a revelation for me, Richie.
Yeah, tremendous. Yeah, I think it's newbie territory, isn't it? And the positive signs, I thought, from the actual show itself and the crowd was that they appreciated good boxing. There was lots of cheers, lots of people there. And which is a great sign. So I think we will be coming back here in the future to more fights that we've seen. And I've enjoyed the experience. It's good coming out where people appreciate boxing, and I have enjoyed it, Mike. And what I have enjoyed also, the food, the culture. Yeah, it's been nice. And do you know what, Mike? What I enjoyed as well, at the boxing arena, there was no drink. There's no booze, obviously, here. And people, it was a good atmosphere. People weren't pouring out of bars. They were coming out of coffee bars rather than alcohol bars. And that was nice to see everyone behave themselves. I thought it was a cracking show.
You know what, Mike? When we were waiting downstairs a couple of hours ago to come up here, different fans came across. A guy from Bolton came across. And there were a couple of Londoners, white Londoners, Asian Londoners, a black guy from the Midlands and an Asian guy from the Midlands. And they all said the same thing, unprompted. You know what? I haven't missed a drink. It was great last night not drinking. And they've all said the same thing. That's been brilliant.
Anthony Joshua still laughing in the background, celebrating his victory almost 24 hours ago. Richie, if you could just pass that microphone on to the fella sat to your left, our producer Jack, who's worked harder than all of us here this week. Jack, your final thoughts.
Jackie, last word.
He's gone all shy, look.
No, he's looking for his script. here's some notes I wrote down earlier. Put your feet up, son. This is going to be a long time. Get him a pipe.
No, great week. Not what I was expecting. I think there's certain things that I've only sort of just started to become aware of in terms of the way the society works over here. And for example, when I called up to book a table in a restaurant, I was asked if I want the single section or the family section, and so most restaurants it's men only, that's the single section, and then there's a special section for family. So I think we've had a different experience here being a group of men than if we'd been a woman, so it's kind of hard to talk about that side. One thing that did strike me as well, just randomly, is there's no culture of recycling whatsoever. There's a lot of like single-use plastics, like tiny little bottles of water, things like that, so a lot of progress needs to be made on that front. But in terms of the week, it's been a lot different than I've expected. And you know, when you're out covering an event like this, always a a privilege to have such amazing experiences.
Great stuff, Jack. Thanks for all your efforts. And thank you also. We've been blown away by the sheer volume of responses from everybody listening to the show. And because it's been so hectic, we haven't managed to refer to any of those reviews and emails that we've had. But we haven't been ignoring you for sure. So when we get back to normal back in the UK in our next podcast, we'll be addressing many of the points and the issues, the questions and the grumbles that you've been putting to us over the course of the past couple of weeks. Thank you to everybody for engaging in what's been a remarkable experience here as we head home from Saudi Arabia with the last of our five live Boxing with Costello and Buns podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Five Live Boxing. On digital, BBC Sounds, smart speaker and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
And with the BBC News at 5:30, this is Simon Morgan. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, is due to travel to Northern England later. It's after the Conservatives made gains in traditional Labour seats in the biggest election victory since the 1980s. Jeremy Corbyn says he will stand down as Labour leader when a successor is found. He's been insisting that he did everything he could to lead the party. Jo Swinson's urging the Liberal Democrats to regroup. She's been forced to step down as leader after losing her seat to the SNP in Thursday's election. And police in New Zealand have resumed the search for the bodies of two remaining people killed in a volcanic eruption. At least one body has been spotted in the water. The remains of six people were recovered yesterday. Those are the top stories this morning. Let's get the sport. Here's Tom Gale.
Liverpool could be 17 points clear of reigning Premier League champions Manchester City by the time Pep Guardiola's side kick off away at Arsenal on Sunday. The European champions travel to Watford in today's early game on a run of 33 matches unbeaten. Former England midfielder Jermaine Gina says they will break Arsenal's Invincibles record of 49 games without losing and credits the improvements in squad depth.
There are times last year you looked at them and thought, well, yeah, you might struggle if you pick up a few injuries here because I don't think what was coming off the bench was at the level. But now, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain comes off the bench and he's at top speed now. Milner's always there. I feel like Henderson's gone to a new level. Shaqiri, Lallana, you name it. All the players that are coming in and doing a bit are massively contributing.
Jurgen Klopp has committed to another 5 years at the club. News warmly welcomed by longtime rival and Spurs boss Jose Mourinho.
Great news for Liverpool fans because they love him. For the players, because it looks clear that they like each other and the relation is very good. And good news for the Premier League, because we want to have the best players, the best coaches, and he's one of the best. So I think only positive news.
And more contract news out of Anfield sees 33-year-old James Milner extend his stay at the club until 2022. In the Championship, it's now 10 games without a win for Charlton after they conceded an injury-time equaliser to draw 2-2 at home with Hull. Ulster maintained their 100% record in the European Champions Cup pool stages, thumping Harlequins 34-10 in their own backyard. They're on the verge of confirming a quarter-final place, but skills coach Dan Soper isn't getting carried away.
Really pleasing performance to obviously get the bonus point away from home, and it's we're in a good place.
Dan Gilbert says he's amazed to be in the Scottish Open semi-finals after he shocked world champion Judd Trump with a 5-2 victory in Glasgow. The world number 12 says all the pressure was on his opponent.
I literally knew I had to go for my shots and be positive, so it kind of makes it a bit easier sometimes, but obviously I haven't played on the main table all week and he's played on it every day, so it was a completely different table to what I played on. It was very quick and the cushions were very fast, and but I got a frame on the board, 1-1, and then settled and felt good at it. There.
And Scottish rugby legend Doddy Weir, OBE, will be honoured with the Helen Rollison Award at Sunday's BBC Sports Personality of the Year show in Glasgow. The former British and Irish Lion was diagnosed with motor neuron disease in 2016 and subsequently set up his own foundation, which has raised nearly £5 million to help with research and support families living with the illness. And that's the latest from BBC Sport.
More live Premier League football than anyone else.
Later today, Leicester City host Norwich. Kickoffs at 3 p.m. Then, Five Lives Premier League Sunday. From 2, it's Manchester United against Everton.
Give it to them.
Plus, Arsenal against Manchester City from 4:30.
This is your football station.
This is Five Live.
Well, Breakfast with Chris Warburton and Eleanor Aldroyd is here in half an hour. But first, Chris Sutton, Alistair Bruce Ball and Statman Dave go head-to-head in a fantasy football battle. This is a pre-recorded programme, so please don't call or text. And to hear the Fantasy 606 pod in full, head to the BBC Sounds.
The Fantasy 606 podcast with Alistair Bruce Ball and Chris Sutton.
Ah, that's a problem. That's a little disappointing, Chris, because we promised Statman Davey's name would be in that intro
one day
this week, and it's not there.
What happened then? Why is he not on?
I don't know. Maybe they've decided he's not given enough to the pod yet.
I don't know if I've got the stripes yet. I think it's fair.
That's a bit harsh, though, Dave. You're a key element.
I could be better.
Does it hurt you a little bit, Dave?
Nah, not really. It is what it is. You guys have been doing this for years. Heroes of the game. I'm just a mere mortal.
Right, this is Fantasy 606. Game week 16's been and gone. Game week 17 is on the way. And Dave, actually, on time this morning, after your office Christmas party, which is a remarkable achievement, because that must have been wild, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There were stats flowing around, spreadsheets. It was just, it got out of hand. It really did.
What do you do, Dave? An anorak's party.
We did the anorak sport of the Crystal Maze. My team was victorious. I made the teams fair, but we won.
So Crystal Maze, Dave, just explain. So that's doing.
So you basically do loads of little challenges. There's four zones. You go through the challenges, either physical, mental, mystery.
What's your best one?
I did all the physical ones. I got 2 out of 2 crystals, so I had 100% record in my challenges.
That will be on a.
Why not just talk about yourself? How did your team do?
Oh, the team was excellent. Well, I let them. I sat back and let them. You know, let them get involved. They took all the crystals. I got 2 out of the 13 we got, so you know it was a team effort.
Who picked the teams, though, Dave? Did you strengthen your own hand a bit there?
No, to be fair, I was going to completely imbalance the teams, but I thought I wouldn't be. You know, it wouldn't be as fun. So I did actually. I made them fair to a point.
Dave, does anyone outside of your office get invited to the Christmas? I mean, could Chris and I have been invited to that, or were we not considered?
No, it's trying to be just for the team, the right, guys, okay. You know. Well, obviously, we could have another event with you guys.
Well, we could
invited.
Do our own one, couldn't we?
We could do,
with
we
our
could
production
have a
team, yeah.
Yeah, Fantasy 606 podcast team. Party. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic. Yeah,
maybe leave me out. But you have a nice time.
Okay. Right, here's your leaderboard. Here's your leaderboard after game week 16. And Chris, I mean, you've been a little downbeat over the last couple of weeks about fantasy football, but you are flying now. You really are.
I wouldn't say flying. I've got a bit lucky. You know, I've had words with my assistant and we've...
Still in a job?
He's hanging on in. I wouldn't say things are particularly great and that's affected our family life, but, you know, these things happen. You have to, you know, at times you have to have words.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to hear the truth and... And he got the truth.
Well, I don't know who made the calls here, but 78 points. You absolutely hammered me and Dave this week. And
good performance.
And you've actually made 40 points on me, Chris, over the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
How exciting.
That's big.
That's massive.
So I got 58, which puts me on...
That's quite good, isn't it?
Well, Vardy saved me. Mm. Vardy saved me on the Sunday against Villa. So I'm on 913. Dave is 33 points behind me. On 880, Dave had 56 points this week.
Disappointing.
A little bit, I agree.
And Chris with his 78 is now just 35 behind Dave.
Oh, I like it. I like it. It's good.
Behind me. So it's narrowed up. And actually, your December scores, because basically on the pod at the moment, you're listening to August and September Manager of the Month, Chris Sutton, October Manager of the Month, Alistair Bruce Ball, and November Manager of the Month, Statman Dave. In December, after 2 game weeks, Chris is on 142 points.
Ooh, great.
Dave
score.
Is on 139. And ABB just 102.
Ooh,
miles.
Chrissy's dropping off, isn't he?
Yeah.
Can I just say well done to all of us?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. Yeah, competitive. It's good.
And the big news, the really big news from the week, just away from the league, we have all qualified for the cup.
Oh, great news.
We are in.
Great news.
The Fantasy Football Cup.
I was sweating for a bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, we needed 54 points to get in there. You got 56, I got 58. So we really did squeak in, yeah. And so later in the pod, I'm going to bring you news. So I know who we've all drawn in the cup.
What do you mean you got... I'm lost. You got 54 points? points.
So to get into the cup, Chris, you needed to score 54 points in game week 16. Yeah.
But that's slightly unfair, isn't it, on the ones who are ranked
above, who had a bad week.
Isn't it?
It's the way they work it, Chris. It's the way they work
it. It's only fair, isn't it?
You're right. I mean, Nick Tanner, for example, our leader in Fantasy 606, if he had a poor week, he might not have qualified for the cup.
Did he?
No, he's in. He's on 1,109, which gives him, in our league, in Fantasy 606, a lead of 71 over a guy called Jack Hewitt, whose name...
Jack.
Well, I can't read his team name out, Chris, because it's rude. So,
Jack.
Yeah, I know.
Go on, give us a clue.
No, I can't. Well, the second part of the word is house.
Right.
It's something house FC, but I can't tell you.
Okay, is this like a gamesmanship type thing?
Madhouse?
A bit ruder than that, Chris. And the other player we like to keep an eye on, of course, is Joe Sant.
Oh, did he get? Is Sant in the cup?
Sant's in the cup.
Oh!
But I don't know who he's got. He's not got. You've not been drawn together
so
yet, Chris.
So he definitely qualified.
He definitely qualified because he actually scored two more points than you last week. He got 80, and he's changed his team name again, and it's called 200 points more than Sutton by Christmas.
Is that the best he can do?
It is. And at the
to
moment,
think one for Sant.
At the moment,
hope Sant gets stuck up the chimney.
At the moment, he's got a lead of 113 over you. So 200, I can't see it now, Chris, the way you're going.
He's weird, though, isn't he?
So, Chris, just looking at your team for game week 16.
Thank you.
Okay, yes, so thanks. You and Ollie, big powwow, big falling out. He's kept his job. Richarlison comes in for Daniel James. Whose decision was that? Was that his or was that yours?
About that.
Right. What about the call? It worked. He scored. Richarlison scored.
Leaving him in. Who have Everton got this week?
They're at
Manchester United.
That's a defeat for them.
Mm.
Could score, though. He scored in his last three games, Richarlison. Mm. So are you saying that Ollie made that call?
We had a little row about that when I saw he was in the team, and then he scored, and I did text him and said, well done.
Richarlison, I actually texted Dave in the week, has made me look like a right Charlie son, because I took him out. I brought him in for 1 week against Watford. Mm. He didn't score. I took him out, and then he goes bang, 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 and scores in three consecutive weeks. You captain Kane, Chris, was that your call?
Yeah, because that was the logical call. And Kane, you know, thought that it's disappointed me this season. So
I know.
If I keep giving Kane a kick, keep pulling your finger out, Harry. You've not done enough.
Rashford got 9 points, Chris. That was part of your wild card switch around. And that, at the moment, is looking a really good call because I think, Dave, in the overall game this week, most transferred in players, Marcus Rashford is the top of the list. And their next games, you just said, they've got Everton at home, they've got Watford, they've got Newcastle, they've got Burnley. He's a good striker to have, isn't he?
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
But they don't do well against, or they haven't done well, Dave. Is that fair to say?
No, that's fair to say. I think this could be the turning point. I think if the run of those two games last week, I think kind of obviously changed Manchester United's feel on the season. I think the confidence is coming back into those players. And Rashford on that left wing, I think he's been directly involved in 11 goals in the 10 games he's played out there.
You think or you know, Dave?
I think I know, yeah. It's around in the brain, you know, it's coming out. It could be the little tweak here now. I think Duncan Ferguson's Everton were fantastic last week. Mm. It'll be a competitive game. But if he can get through that test as well, I think the confidence might come back. Paul Pogba returning could be worth, like Chris has sort of done, maybe get some more Manchester United players in if they beat Everton.
Okay, Rashford and Maguire for Chris. And you've got, Dave, have you just got Rashford?
Just got Rashford.
Okay. And basically, the only thing I can fight Rashford with is Abraham, basically. I've not got Rashford, but I do have Tammy Abraham, who's
excellent.
He's well
done, Bruce.
Thanks. No, I'm just saying, because people will be interested in my team as well as your team.
It's not really saying.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's what I'm going up against you with.
And I normally captain him.
Chris, what about transfers this week?
Yeah, what about them?
Go on then. Tell me what you're doing game week 17 if you're prepared.
Well, I don't really want to tell because what's his name? Tanner will copy me, won't he?
Yeah, it's a point.
Oh, he might do. Yeah.
I've brought him because I needed to improve. Things need to get better. Can only get better. And I brought in Danny Ings.
You brought in Ings for?
Ings. Ooh, that's good.
For who?
Get better. Batshuayi.
Oh, that's good change. That is a good change.
Yeah. See, you can imagine the row which we had. Why Batshuayi?
Yeah.
Why? There was a huge falling out.
The reason for that change, and I could see where Ollie was going with that, was when Abraham got injured, Batshuayi had been the man that was coming off the bench to come on and score the goals, but actually in the following game, Lampard went Giroud. I could see why you went Batshuayi, but
oh,
I can also...
A bit too much of a gamble, I think. Yeah, it's daft, Dave, wasn't it? Batshuayi.
I think that you'd make that change if Tammy was out for... you know, a longer period of time, like 2-3 weeks. A bit like Gabriel Jesus, but I made that terrible call as well. So I think the assistant manager, I can't hang him up out to dry this week. But
that says to me, Dave, PlayStation. You know, he doesn't watch enough football. That's a guy who goes on PlayStation.
Got him on FIFA, thinks he can do it in fantasy football.
Well, you've got to ban it then, Chris. You've got to ban it. Just like you ban ketchup or whatever. Ban PlayStation at home.
Well, I try.
Dave, hit me with some Ings stats.
Danny Ings in the last month scored 5 goals, second behind Jamie Vardy in the last month. Taking his chances, he's had 4 big chances, scored 4 goals. So he's a man in form. I think it's a good change. The value for Danny Ings is fantastic. So I think Chris has made a good move.
39 points, fantasy points in his last 5 games. And his next games, Chris, West Ham at home, Aston Villa away, Chelsea away. Mm. They always give you a chance, don't they? Palace at home, Tottenham at home.
Ooh.
And do you know what? I had a little thought about Danny Ings as well. And this is just coming off the back of my trip to Salzburg.
Little thoughts, aren't they?
Yeah. So I've just come back from Salzburg where I was watching Liverpool play. And I know you love Salzburg and the Sound of Music and all of that. And I thought, here's a suggestion for Danny Ings' family Christmas card this year. Get the family over to Salzburg. Get them all kitted out in the Sound of Music kit. Family photo with the Austrian background. And then your little strap line at the top of the card is, here are a few of my favourite Ings.
Very nice, Bruce.
Bruce, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate that.
Dave, in game week 16, Jack Grealish came in for John McGinn. That was your one change. 56 points. Salah was good for you, wasn't he? Captain at Bournemouth.
Yep.
Grealish actually got 6 points. Sadio Mane didn't play. That was the same for Chris. What about this coming game week? Are you prepared to tell us what you're doing?
Well, Ali, I've already broke the news to you. Son's coming to the side. I think
that's out of order.
That's
basically breaking our unwritten code of conduct in the league.
Look,
and copying.
I just think you can't ignore the stats. And when the stats are telling me something, I have to go. I think I ignored Marcus Rashford too much. I ignored Grealish too much. I can't let Son slip by. I think in the last month, 3 goals, 4 assists. He's got the most big chances created in the league. In terms of shots, he ranks in the top 10 players. And if you look at how Spurs are playing through him on that left wing, I have to get some Spurs coverage. I think that's been an issue for the last few weeks. And Kevin De Bruyne has not been at the same level. I think I've been holding Kevin De Bruyne for a little bit too long if I'm going to look back and think City haven't been great.
You're going to write off Kevin De Bruyne.
I think Heung-min Son, though, as the option. It's not writing him off. It's thinking Heung-min Son is the better option right now.
Writing him off for Son.
Hang on, Chris. You've missed the key point here. Where has Dave gone down in your estimation that he's copying me? That's your big question here.
Well, yeah. I mean, where are you going with that, Dave? We have a gentleman's agreement.
I've never seen the gentleman's agreement. Never read it.
It's an unwritten rule, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you see, I had to take a couple of hard hits.
You did, Chris. You've been very honourable and loyal.
So even though I might lose to you two by like hundreds of points, I'll win the Sportsman Award.
No, exactly. That's what you're playing for, though, Chris.
The gong, the Sportsman gong.
It's sort of tempting me to go for Dele Alli now, but I don't want to be bullied by Dave. It's almost as if Dave's forcing me to do that, and that's irked me.
You're getting so carried away with Spurs, aren't you?
Me?
Both of you. Yeah.
I've only got one Spurs player. I've kept it safe.
They're scoring points, Chris. Should I worry? I've got De Bruyne and Sterling. Should I worry about that, Dave? I mean, because you've obviously had enough of De Bruyne, which actually says to me I should keep him because then he's a differential against you.
Yeah, so that would be the move, but at the same time, City were poor
creating,
last weekend, weren't they?
But he's still creating.
He is still, but it's the rest of the team. The rest of the team looks so shot at the moment.
Dave's written off Man City.
I think at the weekend, they play Arsenal at the weekend.
Yeah.
I wish I had them in my team for this weekend.
Could be
cricket score stuff there, down at the Emirates. They will tear them apart at the back.
Manchester City's next 4 games, Arsenal away, Chris was saying, you know, a chance for them maybe to rack up some goals. Then they've got Leicester at home,
ooh,
Wolves away, which is also tough, and Sheffield United at home.
Ooh.
So, yeah, tricky games. I'm going to get rid of John Stones this week, by the way. He's been clogging up my team for too long. So
yeah, get him in the bin.
John Stones is out. I'm looking at a cheaper option, maybe a Sheffield United defender, to try and boost the coffers for something a bit further down the line.
I don't look at your teams. You've still got Lundstrom in your team.
Yeah. We've both got Lundstrom.
Are you thinking of biffing him?
No chance. Too good value, isn't he, Dave?
Yeah, I've actually thought about it. I thought Stevens has been really good over the last few weeks for Sheffield United in terms of fantasy football points as well as performances. If that any Sheffield United player you're looking at that's not Lundstrom, I'd go with him for sure.
But he's a little bit more, though, isn't he? Stevens is 5.1,
but
I
he's
think.
Playing a lot higher up the pitch, isn't he, than the centre backs, you'd say. Obviously, you've got Lundstrom in already. That's out of question. I think he's performing better in an attacking sense than their right wing back. So it's probably the one.
When you do your transfers, Dave, do you look? So I was actually sitting down at Salzburg Airport waiting to fly home, and I'm quite concerned about you two closing in on me. And I spent about 45 minutes.
Did you have a strudel,
Bruce? Oh, I had a lovely bit of strudel. Yeah. And I spent about 45 minutes working out a long-term transfer strategy for the next six games.
I can appreciate a long-term transfer strategy. That is nice. That is very nice, Bruce.
Do you do that, Dave? Do you sit down and think, right, this game week and then that game week and then...
Yeah, only when my team's in disarray. When my team's... when I feel like my team's okay, you know, when the guys are performing week in, week out, it's okay, but it's when you feel like you're falling apart that you've got to get that transfer strategy and you've got to stick by it. It's important.
But the problem
Bruce.
Is, the
That's
problem
amazing.
Is, so what I've done, Chris, is I've written down the next five game weeks and I thought, right, this week I'm going to do this, right. So, but the problem is, as soon as someone gets injured or a value goes up or whatever, the whole thing can
capitulate.
Get chucked
but
out the window.
But that's such a boring existence, isn't it? I mean, I phone up my assistant. And we have like an hour on the phone just shouting at each other. That's a far better way of doing it.
Maybe.
Isn't it?
Maybe.
What have you put him in for, you buffoon?
Chris, in the cup, you have drawn Waleed Azraq, okay? And I've had a little look into the team, Waleed's team. Currently on 619 points, so that's over 200 less than you overall.
He's in trouble.
Okay. They joined in game week two, Liverpool fan. Not made a single transfer this season. So in the team at the moment is Wes Morgan, Marcus Alonso and Danilo. Danilo's not even in the game this season because Manchester City have got rid of him. And last week he had Paul Pogba as his captain who's not played for a couple of months. So
let's keep it quiet.
That is an absolute gimme. You are through to the next round of the cup.
The Wally out of Wallard.
Yeah, okay. So that's Chris's draw. So I fancy Chris there. Dave, do you think?
I think it should be a big win.
When's the next game? Next week. It's this game week, yeah.
Imagine how many wild cards this week. That'd be excellent.
Yeah. So, okay. Oh, that's a good point. If he suddenly gets interested. If he listens to this pod and thinks I'm having it. Dave, you're up against Adam Foster, okay?
Go on, Fozzy.
His team is called Tinchy Schneider. Okay?
Oh, great name. Like it.
Now, his overall score is 685, which is almost 200 less than you, okay? So, overall,
should be a
you're
beating.
The favourite here, okay? Yeah. But last week, you scored 56. Adam scored 74, okay?
Uh-oh. He's got form.
Okay.
He's got form.
Okay. He's got Kane. Uh-oh. He's got Mane. He's got Salah. Oh. He's got Abraham. And he's got Van Dijk. And I tell you what, Dave, you are the equivalent of Manchester United for him in the third round of the cup. He's non-league, you're United. You are a massive scout for him.
That team sounds really good because he's got Salah and he's got Mane, who I've obviously both got, but he's got Harry Kane. Yeah. So it's basically Kane and Abraham and Kane versus Abraham and then Son versus who's his third midfielder?
He's got Abraham, hasn't he?
Rashford versus Kane.
Yeah. Wow.
That is intense.
What a tie that is, Chris. That's the one. That's
I'm
the one.
I'm
going
to triple captain this week.
Oh. Wow! I'm up against Cole Gifanu.
Go on, Cole.
Whose team is
Coley?
His team is called G Baby FC. Now, actually, he's got the best score out of the three that we've drawn. So he's got 745.
Here we go, the violin.
He's got 745 points. Okay, he's got Vardy and Abraham, but I've also got Vardy and Abraham, but he's got Aubameyang up top as well. But then City are against Arsenal, so I think Dave's got the toughest draw there. I do.
Oh, I can hear you. You're worried, Bruce, aren't you?
Imagine if Dave goes out, though, Chris.
Well, yeah, the other thing is you can play your wild card, can you?
Do people do that for the cup? Dave, are they bothered about the cup?
Yeah,
like
I think
that?
So.
Do they?
Some people only play for the cup.
You can't win the cup playing your wild card and all your bonuses this week. You need to save them.
Yeah.
For the big rounds.
Semi. You do.
Yeah. I'm going to play mine when I'm in the semi.
I think Sant in the quarterfinal is the one everyone's...
Oh, yeah, that's the big one.
I'd love to play Sant. I'd love to put Sant back in his box.
This is the Fantasy 606 podcast.
Should we do a bit of quickfire to finish?
Go on then.
Okay, I'm going to start on... Oh, I'll tell you what we've not done. We've not done the fixtures for this week. So all that conversation... People will be thinking who's playing who and what's happening. So, Liverpool-Watford, Burnley-Newcastle, Chelsea-Bournemouth, Leicester-Norwich, Sheffield United against Villa, Southampton-West Ham, Manchester United-Everton we did mention, Wolves against Tottenham, Manchester City away to Arsenal, and then Palace-Brighton is the Monday night game. So your first...
Is it the M23?
It's the
derby?
M23 derby, but it's not really a derby, is it, that?
Wow.
No, but it's not, is it?
Wow.
No, I mean, there's a rivalry, but it's not a derby.
Today?
No, but there's a rivalry, Chris, and that all stems back to Mullery and Venables and all sorts of stuff that happened in the 70s. But
I'd say it's a derby, but...
It's called a derby, but I would say it's a rivalry.
Well, you insult both sets of fans.
Right, yep. I'm gonna chuck some names at you here, right? So you're Stan Kroenke. Both of you are Stan Kroenke.
Right.
And I want you to choose an Arsenal manager. So... You've got to kind of ignore, you know, contracts and what... Just the best person for this job, okay, out of these names. And actually, I was listening to 606 last Sunday and an Arsenal fan called in. One of the names she put forward was Mick McCarthy, okay?
So that would be the one.
McCarthy, Eddie Howe, Chris Wilder, Marcelino, Patrick Vieira, Mikel Arteta, Maurizio Pochettino, Carlo Ancelotti. Who are you having as your Arsenal
Poch.
Boss? Chris is going Poch straight in.
Have either of you ever read Carlo Ancelotti's autobiographies?
What's it called?
There's a few. I think I've read two of them, but both of them, he fixates a lot on pasta and pork, and I absolutely love it. He spends like a good like two or three chapters literally just talking about like ravioli and how it comes from the mountain and where the sort of the porks come from. It's, I love Carlo, but okay. No, I think Poch is the guy. Poch is the right guy. Okay. Poch is the right guy.
Okay.
Carlo's just a hit. I'd love to. One day, if I meet Carlo Ancelotti, that's a dream come true.
Okay. Can I say, I don't know how many pods we've done. I've never heard you so excited.
No, I know.
Honestly, it's brilliant.
What a man.
Brilliant. And wine. Like, I just want to go for dinner with Carlo Ancelotti one time. I think it'd be
also
sensational.
Chris, excited about something that's not numbers or stat related. That's actual, you know.
Pork.
Actual, like, life things, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Right, random question. And it's festive, but it's actually a little bit kind of anti-festive in a way. Because I want to ask you, what is your least favourite Christmas song? So you're in the shops, out doing your Christmas shopping, they've got the CD on, you know, you might be out there buying your lingerie, whatever.
It's lingerie?
Lingerie.
It buys lingerie.
Oh dear. So you're out there in the shops, okay? And the one that comes on, the song that...
you've had a mare there.
The song that comes on and just drives you crazy. And actually, you have to walk out the shop because you just, I'm sorry, that one... And I've got... Shall I start? Because I've got the one that really bugs me is the Slade Merry Christmas, everyone, which starts with, it's Christmas. Oh, God, really? No for me. That's just a no.
Yeah. I've gone a blank,
Bruce. You can't think straight, can
I
you?
I can't.
No. Well, really... come on, one of you's got to give
no,
me a
song. No, I think
there's some
bangers out there. You know,
yeah,
thinking
yeah, no,
Fairy
I don't
Tale
want good
of New
ones,
York.
I want terrible ones.
All I want for Christmas, Mariah Carey. I don't.
Yeah, that.
I'm not into
me
it. You know what I mean? I don't.
Me up. Yeah.
It's just not very Christmassy.
Stat Boy's enjoying that at the moment. He's discovered that and he's playing that quite a lot.
Oh,
and I'm trying to get him onto the Pogues and
yeah, the real bangers.
Stuff. Yeah.
Wham.
No, he likes that. He does like a bit of good. Last Christmas. Yeah, he does like that. So I don't think we're going to get much sense out of Chris, are we?
He's gone.
He's gone.
I'm off to buy some lingerie.
It's all got a bit lacy late on, hasn't it? Oh, dear.
You've had a stinker.
Thank you very much for listening. More of this in the full podcast, which is over on the BBC Sounds app. That also includes Chris's favourite part of the pod, which is our bigger or smaller game. We are going to be back on Saturday with 6:06, getting your reaction to all the day's games. Next up on 5 Live, though, it is Breakfast with Chris Warburton and Eleanor Oldroyd.
Hearts and Barks. We're turning it up. BBC Three Counties Radio. It's your station.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Nana Aquia for Beds, Hearts and Barks.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. It's Saturday breakfast here on BBC Three Counties Radio. How are you? Yes. Are you good? Yes, well, the election fever is gone now. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Thank the Lord. It is, of course, coming up to the lovely Christmas run-up, isn't it? So how have you been over the last few days? Didn't see you last weekend because I was at the Christmas party. I know. I feel like I've been away for absolutely ages. I was just talking to the lovely Liz and saying, girl, I feel like I've been away for ages. But no, it was just one weekend and then Toby Friedney did the breakfast show, didn't he? That's my boss, by the way, people. Yes, so today, loads happening on the programme. Love you to get involved as ever. I don't want to be left all by myself. You can get in touch on 81333. Start your message with 3CR. You can also give me a call, 0808 100 8800, or you can tweet me at BBC3CR. Now, do you know, the other day I got a lovely message from, I think it was, might have been Jules or Jackie, and they're saying, oh gosh, you never have a cold, Nana. Then after that, they followed this weird kind of nasally coldy thing that's kind of gone, but I worked out how to get rid of it. I shall tell you what I put in my smoothie after this next song. But anyway, I found the cure for me. It seemed to work for a cold, which was quite good. But in the programme, my usual stuff, Connect Four. Also, Liz will be in with news hot off the press and so much more. I thought I'd start things off this morning with some Sister Sledge.
just begun.